I had to repent this week because God hit me hard with this. Because you know what? Facebook is of the devil. There's such temptation there, isn't it, Rick? Isn't it, Adam? Somebody says something on Facebook, and I can hear I can see y'all's ears getting red. You know how I know? You know how I know? Because I see y'all in the cafe, and you're like, I know what you're doing. You're Christian cussing. She posted that, now I'm going to post this. He made a phrase, so now I'm going to make one. And then you got the world going, what? What a bunch of goofballs. Now, here's what I want to say. Give me 3 minutes. I love you all. You know, the last couple of weeks I've talked to black pastors. I've talked to Hispanic pastors. I've talked to South African pastors. The amazing thing about the gospel is the simplicity of it. You don't need to be a PhD to understand Jesus loves me, this I know. For the Bible tells me so. You don't need to be a PhD to understand the grace and love of God, to feel the presence of God come on your life and transform you. You don't need a PhD for that. But you know what? As Christians, we complicate it. We make it harder than what it is. Because we throw our junk in it. We throw our opinion in it. And it clogs it up. But even worse than clogging up the simplicity of the gospel, I think that hyper-simplicity is lazy. And this is what I mean by that. I think sometimes we make lazy statements. I think we say things and hold the things that we haven't researched or that we don't even know. We just say it.
Amen.
It's poorly thought out, and it's a statement that's quipped. It's just off because we want to say it. And whether we understand what we're talking about or not doesn't matter. We just say it. We have an election coming up. I want to tell you. Here's where we miss it. I'm just going to give you an example. Don't get mad at me. I'll give you an example of what I mean by hyper-simplicity. Just being a statement. And don't get mad at me. I love y'all. Somebody says something like, Black Lives Matter! And we just come off the cuff and we say, All lives matter.
Amen.
Well, we know that's true. Well, how do we know that's true? Because truth is all things, all places, all nations. Right? We know that's true. But why do we say that statement? We say that statement, and here's how it's said. It's said with that hyper-simplicity. It's said almost as a get back are an offense to someone who holds that opinion that black lives matter. But here's the problem with it. The problem is that we make that statement and there's no empathy in it.
Amen.
We say it without the empathy of what people might be going through on that side of the street. Instead of trying to understand what they might be walking through, you say it without understanding, and you say it not knowing what is going on and not knowing the whole story. And we say that. Well, they're just living off the government. You don't walk in their shoes. They may be. But maybe you didn't grow up without a dad or a mom. Or maybe you didn't grow up with a drug addict parent. Or maybe you're not raised by a grandmother who's on a fixed income. But it's easy for you to say they just suck off the government. Well, the truth is there probably are some who do. Let's just be truthful. But we say things like that and we've lost every bit of empathy for people. We say it without empathy. We say it without any compassion. We say it without any brokenness in our life. We say it with an arrogance. And the truth is, there's nothing wrong with saying the truth, because that's important. But when you say it without empathy, when you say it, listen, unless you fed the poor, don't talk about the poor. You hear what I'm saying? I'm never going to preach about the poor from this pulpit until we start feeding people. Then you can say something. When you walk with somebody that has to go through that, then you can have an opinion on that. But maybe it's just an opinion. That's not always the truth. And I want to tell you, we've so divided in this country. We're so divided and backed up this country. Everybody think that everybody that votes because of abortion, well, they're just right-wing crazy. Really?
Amen.
Well, my opinion is that a woman should do whatever she wants with her body. First of all, it ain't your body. Because God says, it's His. If you belong to Him, you are a temple of the Holy Ghost. And it ain't yours. I'm just throwing that out there for a little extra. Put your quarter on the altar. But we say things like that. We say things about Latinos. We say things about, well, they just come to this country to get a free ride and just to make it. They're just sucking. Listen, if you had to drink dirty water out of a river with two kids who walked around with disease, maybe you would try to change your position also. If you moved just across the water, there might be some hope. I'm not saying it's right. I'm just saying, you have to come to an understanding where we begin to have empathy where people are in life.
Yes.
I'm not a Democrat or Republican from this pulpit. Let me tell you what I am. Let me just let it all out of the cat bag. I'm for truth. And if it puts an arrow in your butt, then let it put an arrow in your butt as you hit the goal. Because I'm not going to get up here and polish your candidates for you.
Amen.
Amen.
I tell you, I vote on election day. I vote out of compassion and I vote out of truth.
Yes.
And I look for people who want to make righteous positions and stances. Now that doesn't mean that the candidate that loses, and it doesn't mean the candidate I don't vote for, it doesn't mean that they're any less of human. Why?
No.
Because they're entitled for their opinion. Even if it's wrong. Mm-hmm. But the church gets so focused on it.
Amen.
When we need to be pushing truth. We need to be pushing freedom and deliverance. We need to be pushing the life and not death. Don't get so stirred up you're ready to have a heart attack talking politics. Now here's the difference. I'm closing. I really am. Let me tell you, it's just as ingenuous. I hate it when I hear people say, well, the rich, they're taking it from everybody. That's just as bad as people standing up and saying, well, they're living off the government.
Amen.
All of us without empathy. Let me tell you why the rich are rich. Because they were willing to do what you weren't willing to do. And I want to tell you something. I know there are wicked rich people. But I want to tell you, the majority of the people I know that's got wealth are some of the most generous people in the world.
Amen.
And that label them with everybody else is an injustice. And it's not the business of the church. It's not the business of the church to speak without empathy and without a conviction.
Yes.
We need to be speaking out of truth. We don't need to be speaking. We cannot let our opinions become truth in our lives. It cannot be the rudder that guides the ship of our lives. Truth has to win out. Truth has to win out. Truth. I don't care if rich, poor, middle class, stand on your head, got two nickels to rub together. If you live righteous for God, that's truth. I'll put someone in with good judgment that has a consciousness for God that may not have nothing more than someone who owns everything. So it comes down to motive and method. See, the motive should always be the gospel. I want to tell you, I'll stand with black people when there's injustices of white cops killing them on the streets. I'm telling you folks, that's an injustice.
Amen.
An injustice is when people who have a right or a responsibility to uphold law, but yet they take advantage of that. Listen, some of y'all may not like that, but I want to tell you, in all this rash of things we've been shooting, listen, the majority of it has been hyped up and the hyper-simplicity of it all, but I want to tell you something, there's been some true cases in that. And we all should be appalled at it. We all should be appalled that anyone dies.
Amen.
And so we can't sit here and get, well, he's for Black Lives Matter, and he's for law enforcement, and he's, The truth is, how do we fix it? Figure out how to fix it.
Amen.
Because most of you are just the toilet that needs to be flushed. No, I'm talking to the church. I'm not talking out there.
Amen.
I'm talking to the church. And I want to tell you, what's going to change this nation, and we have an opportunity to speak truth. I'm not speaking as a Democrat. I'm not speaking as a Republican. I'm speaking as a Christian. There's not a white Christian. You're not. Listen, here's the problem we run into when Christians put adjectives on Christianity.
Amen.
Christianity doesn't have an adjective.
Amen.
You're not a black Christian. You're not a white Christian. You're not a Hispanic Christian.
Amen.
You don't, you're none of that. You're not a gay Christian. You're a Christian.
Amen.
Period. Red, yellow, black, and white, they are precious in His sight. And a Christian lives for truth and not opinion.
Come on.
Amen.
And the reason you know that is that you're able to speak truth in the people that you love. When I first started preaching,
amen.
Listen. Anybody can find people that agree with them to hang out with. Right?
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
But a true Christian allows people who rub you the wrong way speak into your life.
Yeah.
When I first started preaching, I had a preacher friend. He told me, he said, Shane, I started preaching. He said, can I be honest with you? I said, sure. He said, you preach angry. And you spit on them every night. He said, I don't think you're angry. I think you're just patient. And he's right. I'm not angry. But that was his opinion. And how many know sometimes people's opinions, it's okay to receive somebody's opinion. I didn't knock him off and say, okay, he spoke something truthful to my life. Cut him off! Delete his number out of my cell phone. No. Because I had a relationship with him, I was able to receive what he said. Adam. That's the difference. Now, if you were to challenge the word of God that I was preaching, it's a different, that's truth. I'll tell you something. This is a great opportunity for Christians in this election. You say, well, how are you going to vote, Pastor? Well, I'll just tell you how I vote. Then you can make your own decision, because this is just my opinion. On the foundation of truth. No, listen. I'm serious. When we go to the polls, I think there's two questions we need to ask. First of all, you're not voting for a Christian. I'm so tired of all this Facebook stuff about Donald Trump being saved and all that stuff. Well, maybe he did, but he needs a disciple. He needs a Barnabas. How many would say he needs a Barnabas?
Amen.
Send a Barnabas, praise God. Somebody send a Barnabas. If he got saved, send a Barnabas. But there's no fruit there. I'm just going to say it. First of all, I say, I vote, and I say, God, who is likely to honor you in a moment of truthful decision?
Amen.
Where the word of God is in the balance. Who is likely to do that? And then I say, God, who stands for the things that line up with the word of God? And then thirdly, I say, who's going to benefit my family? And I ain't telling anybody who to vote for. You make your own decisions. But here's what I think we've got to stop doing. We've got to stop making our opinions truth. We've got to stop projecting on people things that are our opinions unless we know the truth. That's what's divided this country. Why? Because truth is all things, all places, and all people. I tell you, white people don't have, we don't have the key to everything that's righteous in the gospel. Matter of fact, people that God is using now, there's ethnic groups all over the world that God is using on a great scale in places like China, South Africa, places in Europe. I want to tell you, the day we live in, it's not white people that God is using. White folks need a revival. I'm just telling you, we need a revival in this country. We need a revival in this country.
Jesus.
Stand there if you will. You still on me? You know what? I don't need those little voter guys. Throw out on Facebook. this is here, and it goes from here to out there. I don't move by people's opinions. I move by what this book says. This is our authority.
Yes.
Even when wicked kings ruled Israel, still not. So I'm not so much concerned who gets in the White House. But I am concerned about you. That you hold on to this, hold fast. I want you to take your hand and put it over your heart. Say, Lord, I thank you for my opinions. My opinions have value. Because you made me that way. But Lord, help me fall in love with your truth. And if I have to choose between my opinion and truth, choose truth. So Lord, open my mind and my heart to hear from you. I give you permission to speak into my life in the areas where I've made opinion truth. Lord, I believe who the Son sets free. Well, just take a moment and begin to thank the Lord for your life. Begin to thank Him for His deliverance in your life. Begin to thank Him for salvation. Begin to thank Him that He's made you in your right mind and He's given you the ability to understand truth and to choose righteousness. Father, we love you and thank you. Lord, I pray for this congregation. Lord, I pray, Lord, you'll help us to grow in the things of God. Lord, I pray that you'll help us to discern righteousness. Lord, help us to have compassion and empathy towards people. Help us to have a compassion to those that are less fortunate than us. Lord, help in my mind do things I don't understand, to cultures I don't know, people I've never been around. Understand the struggle that goes on outside of my world. Help me to have empathy. And help me to have truth to be my guide. Because when I stand with truth, I can never falter to opinion. We pray this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you give the Lord a clap offering this morning? Come on, give a great big clap offering. We love Jesus. We love Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. What's the Lord's message this morning? Would you just miss? God bless you. Hallelujah. Thank you.